Welcome to the Boldly Business Podcast, brought to you by Sage and Fin24. I am your host, Graham Richards. In this podcast, we chat to a range of dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they take us through their journey to profit. Through the season, we will identify their mistakes so you don't have to repeat them, get game-changing tips, and learn from their lessons to get you closer to being the business owner you want to be. Very excited about today's episode as we speak to Cleopatra Markopoulos, a co-founder of Style Rotate, the Cora Project, and Mood Creative Agency. So for a bit of background, Cleo is the former group fashion director of Cosmopolitan and Good Housekeeping and co-founder and creative director of the fashion rental platform Style Rotate, which was in itself a game changer. She is undoubtedly an innovative thinker, a doer, a content addict, self-proclaimed, with nearly a decade of experience in the fashion and media industries. She's also produced content marketing campaigns for some of the heaviest hitters. In fact, brands including Old Car Key, Calvin Klein, Pandora, Forever New, and Foschini. And as a person, she is passionate about empowering women, and she's proven that through the way that she does business. She has recently co-founded the Cora Project, a project that aims to combat period poverty in South Africa, which we know is rampant, especially in our more unprotected communities. And she is here today to help us focus on three ways to use digital channels to help customers save time. Cleo, I am so excited to tap into your beautiful mind in this space, certainly in the digital space. But I found after the year and a half that we've had, this crazy year and a half that we've had, it's vital that as human beings, we check in with each other. So how are you? How have you survived and how have you been doing over this last crazy period that we've all been through?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. I think we actually need to do this more often and just check in with others and ourselves. The last year and a half has been difficult in many ways. Cosmopolitan closed down. A lot of us lost our jobs and obviously just pandemic-related issues and speed bumps that we've had. But it's also been a very good year and a half for me. It's really also just given, I think, myself and others the push and the almost kick in the butt, if I can say that,
for sure.
To get going and to innovate and to really just, take a situation, a hard situation, and do the best with what we have and what we can do. So I'm good, yes.
Oh, I was waiting for the P word to come out, pivot.
Pivot.
Well, we've all pivoted.
I mean, we've heard that word enough, but it's so true. It has been the last year's, key word because everyone's had to pivot. No one's had a choice. It's just been the reality.
I love the fact that you've worn multiple hats throughout your incredible career. As young as you are clearly a serial entrepreneur that wants to be starting things, a fire starter, but has also been able to work for some of the biggest brands and some of the biggest campaigns in the country. So you know how to cut it as a pro in those bigger organizations. But I'm going to focus right now on the entrepreneurial self. You've got some incredible organizations, various businesses under your umbrella right now. Maybe you can give us a bit of background into those and why you started them. What was the motivation?
Okay, yeah. So Mood Creative Agency was co-founded with myself and Cosmo's former editor-in-chief, Holly Meadows, straight after Cosmopolitan closed down in April last year. We immediately started working on this. It just was an opportunity to really start something with what we did best, and that was coming up with content, concepts, and campaigns for brands. And this, coupled with our relationship with industry insiders, our database of creatives, relationships with influencers and celebs, really also just added to our creating of Mood.
You got an awesome little black book.
Yes, no, totally. And it was, it's been great. It's been an incredible journey. And we've been working with some incredible brands on 360 concepts. And then Style Rotate, South Africa's now largest rental fashion platform, was born while I was still at Cosmo at the end of 2019. I co-founded this business with Natasha Leisner, who I met when I was an intern at Elle Magazine many years ago. Sour Tate was essentially inspired by creating a solution to what we found was a very unsustainable but outdated closet system. We've really created a community of like-minded women through the spirit of fashion. And there was just, we needed to introduce a solution to the way we dress and to innovate it essentially. As a working woman myself, I also just found I had no time to, you know, scour the mall in search of dresses and outfits that I needed for events.
Kind of curate a whole, yeah.
Exactly. For my social events, but also for my professional, you know, events. So our community is all about lengthening the lifespan of a garment by replacing mindless buying with rotating outfits, essentially. We've put a lot of time and energy into digitizing the customer experience at Style Rotate. So while we have the traditional option of our customers coming and trying on items in our showroom in Cape Town, the majority of our customers use our Instagram and website to browse and rent their wardrobe.
I love that. It's absolutely brilliant. It's one of those ideas where you look and you think, why has no one done this before?
100%. And it has been done before. We aren't, you know, creating, we're not coming up with rocket science here. We are just taking a concept that's worked extremely well overseas in America, in London and Australia and other countries, and have really adapted it to suit our local audience. You know, we also have such a drought of occasion wear in South Africa, but...
And we've also had a drought of occasions to go to over the last year.
You know,
and
there has been a drought of occasions, but actually we haven't done terribly in the pandemic. And obviously our rentals are directly linked to social gatherings. So yes, there have been months where the restrictions have been tougher and harder, that we see a direct link to our sales going down. But in those in-between months, we've seen huge spikes. You know, people are having smaller gatherings, but they are having gatherings at the moment, especially. This month's been really busy.
And often you're filming those gatherings. You're recording digital content, so you need to look good. Can you tell me more about, and this really piques my interest because I have had my eyes opened with regards to period poverty and where South Africa sits at the moment, the fact that young girls are missing up to an entire year of their schooling by the time they finished school because of this factor. Talk me through the Cora Project.
Great. So the Cora Project was co-founded by my sister and I in the beginning of the pandemic. We were having a conversation about how things were tough, but especially things were tough for those who could not afford, you know, necessities like menstrual health products. And we just chatted about like the hardcore facts, like 1 in 3 girls not being able to go to school because they don't have the access to menstrual health products. There's also a lot of stigma and period shaming in certain communities. And we really just wanted to do something in order to aid other organizations that were tackling period poverty. So when we started, it was never our intention to become a nonprofit organization. But once we started running campaigns and our various projects to aid other nonprofits, we saw such a insane response from
Brilliant.
Our network of people. And yeah, it's been about a year and a half. We are an NPO and a PBO now too, which is a public benefit organization. We've just finished an incredible campaign called Run for Her SA, which essentially gets people to run and walk and donate money to our new project called Pledge Red. And Pledge Red is all about tackling period poverty and stigma around periods at schools, so with students. The whole idea is to get schools to sign a pledge called Pledge Red, and it has 6 points. Those are all about promising and making the pledge to ensure education around menstrual health for boys and girls.
Yeah.
To, you know, celebrate periods and period power is what we call it, instead of shaming. So there's various elements. It's a very multifaceted campaign. It's also resource driven. But yeah, we're really excited to get going with Pledge Red after Women's Month.
I love that because I think I've worked so closely with so many nonprofits over the years. And what's missing is that entrepreneurial mindset to make something work. This kind of handout mentality of please donate so that we can do something needs to shift into a more sustainable model. So it needs minds like yours that can bring these ideas to inject the productivity, to bring in those vital networks, as you say. And I suppose as a dad to a beautiful girl child, and trust me, once you've witnessed the pregnancy miracle and you have a child, suddenly your whole understanding of menstrual health and what it is completely different. So as a dad, and I'm so glad you're introducing the education to young boys, we need to see this in a completely different light.
100%.
And I'm so glad that people in your space are operating like that. So throughout, yeah.
I just also want to say that's a very good point, because it's so important for men and women, boys and girls, to be educated on menstrual health. I mean, the amount that my husband's learned through the Cora Project is actually insane. And he comes from an educated, you know, background of privilege. So that's really important. Also want to add that as a person, I'm very much about collaboration. And I've really brought, as you said, that entrepreneurial, collaborative approach to the Cora Project. We've partnered with so many brands, Cotton On, Vita, UCook, in order to not be your conventional NPO. We want to make period poverty a more accessible topic. And I think partnering with certain brands has really allowed that. So collaboration is key for the Cora Project too, and in my personal capacity as an entrepreneur.
And it's great because it adds meaning to the work that you're doing. As you're talking, I'm looking at three completely different streams opening up in front of me. As a business owner that has three businesses that are speaking to three very different, I know it might feel like one kind of source to you, but externally, these are three very different customer bases, essentially, that you're talking to. How do you go about figuring out what channels are going to work best for each of these endeavors?
100%. So I would say it's not so much about what channels, but more about how we use those channels that changes throughout the Cora Project, Style Rotate, and Mood. So for example, with Style Rotate, we have a very fast-growing Instagram following and a very engaged following. So we are constantly ourselves trying to engage with our audience to find out more about their renting habits, to collate data, to inform what we buy and how we do our business. So a way we do this is through Instagram polls. We found out a lot about what our consumer wants and how they want to consume it through a series of Instagram polls. Then with Mood, you know, Instagram is a big part of what we do, and with content marketing and in the digital space. And a lot of our clients are interested in, you know, the content strategy that we have on Mood's page. Our pages almost become a bit of a portfolio. And a lot of our clients actually find us on Instagram. And then with the Cora Project, we've really used our Instagram to educate around menstrual health in a more accessible way and to make it more accessible, essentially. I've also found that even my personal Instagram page has become an extension of my brands for all three of them. And I'm very passionate about them. So when you head to if you look at my personal Instagram page, you'll see exactly what I do, what I'm about, and my brands.
What is your Instagram page?
It's at Cleopatra Marco.
Go and check it out.
My Instagram page is at Cleopatra Marco.
This all then relies greatly on online efficiency. You've got to get it right. It's one thing to use these tools, but if it's going to stand in the way of your customer's experience, then there really is no point. It's actually a hindrance. So how have you been able to achieve maximum online efficiency on your social media platforms, in particular on Instagram and online in general on your website?
Yes, great question. So for Style Rotate, I'm going to use Style Rotate as a case study here. We've got a website, typical e-commerce website, and we've got our Instagram page, which are the two key kind of platforms that we do business on. And we've introduced through our Instagram very easy ways to get straight to the products that our audience want to rent. So for example, tap to shop, or for us, tap to rent, has become a direct way to get our viewers from our Instagram page to the product. Swipe up links that we use on Instagram stories to take our audience again straight to the product for a more seamless experience. We also use a calendar, a very nifty and slick calendar system on our website, which allows our customer to click on the date that they want their dress to arrive, and then it automatically fills in the date that we'll be collecting from them. So we do 4-day rental periods. So they honestly just go onto the dress, click the day they want it to arrive on the calendar system that we use, and the rest is done for them. We also use our copy and imagery as very important ways to communicate exactly what the dress is like, how it fits, details on how to style it. So there's a lot of information and education around that. I also feel like imagery is so important when you're building a brand like ours, or a brand in the fashion space.
For
it's
sure.
completely visually driven, and that's been really great because that's where my strengths lie also, is, you know, creative directing and creating content and imagery that really appeals to the customer. We've also used something called card tokenization, which allows us to not use deposits, because we found deposits are very old school and outdated and also not very seamless with the user journey. So we use card tokenization, which allows us to capture our customers' card details in case of, you know, a dress not coming back or something fatal happening to it. But we also do embed a snag and spill fee into our rental cost, the cost that you see on the website, to cover our renters or our rotators, as we like to call them, in the case that a strap breaks or a button falls off or a bubbly spill.
When the event turns into a party.
Exactly. Yeah? When the event turns into a party, our rotators are covered and they don't have to worry about a strap breaking, because that's embedded into the cost.
So this is an opportunity maybe for you to walk us through your journey. Have you always been this amazing? Have you always got it right? Did you just carry over the expertise and knowledge of your market from your previous jobs? Or have you had to, through various trial and error, kind of perfect along the way? Walk me through your journey.
So my mom always jokes and says that my first word was money, not mummy. I think I've always had a bit of an entrepreneurial spirit from when I was very young. I had various businesses selling all sorts of things. But Style Rotate, and not many people know this, but Style Rotate was actually born as a business school project. So when I was at Cosmo, I think I was fashion assistant a few years ago, I decided to enroll at the UCT Graduate School of Business because I knew I wanted to start something in the fashion space, but I didn't know exactly what, and nor did I have a business background, as I studied media and writing at UCT, which was basically their version of journalism. So I enrolled in this kind of evening business course. So I would go to work in the day and then go to business school in the evenings. And it was a 6-month course, and we had to develop our business idea that we then pitched to our lecturers. Mine started out with a handbag brand. Then it evolved into a kind of sharing economy model, which then evolved into Style Rotate, because Style Rotate is all about the sharing economy and the circular world. And that's when I pitched Style Rotate to my lecturers, got such great feedback. A few investors were keen. And then I just got promoted at Cosmo and didn't have the time, and it kind of fell through the cracks. 2 years later, I re-met, because we actually interned together at Elle Magazine, my co-founder now, Tash, and we just decided, with her experience as a buyer and my experience in the fashion and media industry, the perfect duo would evolve, and so would Style Rotate. And it's been a interesting ride. We've had to be very flexible. We've tried things that we no longer have. Very much a trial and error kind of journey. But I think that's so important as a business owner. You need to be flexible. And I think flexibility has been a kind of weapon in my back pocket, because I'm not shy of flexibility and change. So lots of trial and error, lots of testing the user journey, because that is essentially the foundation of any online digital business. And I think user journey, be the user, go to the front end, test it out, get your friends to collate, you know, insights from others who have also tested it out themselves. That's actually something we're really big on at Style Rotate, is getting feedback from our customer base. And on that note, In the beginning, we had no insight into what our audience would engage with. But through our, you know, journey, we've collated some incredible insights and data that have then informed our decisions going forward. Data is actually such a powerful weapon that business owners can use, because collating data and forming a database is how you make decisions later on in your business.
So you can see the algorithms, you can track it.
You can track it. To give you an example, any buying that we do now is informed on the insights and data that we've received from our back end. So for example, we know what pieces will perform. We know what dresses people want to wear. We know what colors are more popular. We know where our audience is, and that informs what kind of aesthetic they are into. For example, the Joe Burgers are more about the high-end kind of occasion wear, whereas Capetonians are a little bit more boho-esque, just to give you an example. But yeah, data is so important and is really a wealth of information that you can use to inform your business going forward.
And I suppose sometimes you've got to balance your instinct with the data, because I'm sure there are times where you must be convinced that something's going to work, but the data paints a completely
100%.
Different picture.
And that's when you need to be flexible and just, you know, kind of mold with your audience too.
You're listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast, brought to you by Sage and Fin24. As a self-proclaimed content addict, yourself a viewer, you also serve I would imagine, probably now more than ever, the most digital savvy audience out there. And I love the fact that you keep using the term audience, because you really are a broadcaster. But it begs the question, how do you yourself stay on top of digital trends so that you can best serve that audience?
I think a good strength to have as a business owner is curiosity, because through curiosity, you discover. And that also goes for, you know, digital trends. So I think top tips to stay ahead of emerging trends are to be in the know. So for example, masterclasses, I've signed up to a series of masterclasses. I mean, with the pandemic came a wealth of webinars and online kind of masterclasses. So there's so much free information out there online. It's just, you know, knowing to look for it. I've also discovered that TikTok is a lot more than just a learning dances platform.
Is it though? It really is.
You know what? Once you've perfected the algorithm, it shows you some very interesting things. So there's a lot of info and subject matter on emerging digital trends from experts. I mean, we have like CEOs of, you know, very serious companies giving their 10 tips in 30 seconds on, you know, digital trends, as we said. Yeah. So TikTok, don't underestimate it. There's a wealth of information from subject matter experts, masterclasses, webinars online, and just by being curious. I think, stay curious and just be a sponge, ready to absorb information. Also social media, guys, social media, there is so much to learn. Instagram also just constantly adds new features like that. They've just done away with the swipe up link, and now it's become a button. And I only know that because I am on the platform a lot. So social media is also a great way to, you know, see the digital trends that are evolving.
There's some gravitas there that I think we miss in terms of what social media is and how it can be utilized for businesses especially. I mean, you've covered a couple of amazing tips so far when operating online. But speaking now to that, you know, that Cleo from 10 years ago that's wanting to get online and start a business, what advice, do's and don'ts, do you have? I know we could probably spend another hour talking through that, but for someone wanting to start an online business, what advice do you have?
Okay, so firstly, do not underestimate the power of social media. You may not like it, but it is your job as an entrepreneur for 99.9% of businesses to take it seriously and use it, because it is essentially free marketing, guys. Like, we don't even put a lot of paid media behind Style Rotate, for example. And very rarely do we ever spend money. We've done a few Facebook ads, for example. But being consistent on the platform has, you know, allowed us to grow by 12,000 followers in a year and a half. And that is just posting content every day, If you aren't good at it, lean into someone who is. Find someone to help you with your social media. You may not like it, but it is a weapon you can use for your business. It's all about the user journey, as we know. So perfect. If you can perfect the user journey, you've got a great thing going. And on that, less is more. Don't make it complicated. No one likes to stay online trying to buy something for more than 30 seconds, I'd say. The imagery. So maybe not for every business, but I find that imagery has really helped us kind of stand out as a business in all Cora, mood, and style rotate. And I think that's also, you know, where my strength lies. But if your strength doesn't lie, you know, there are plenty experts out there and content creatives like, you know, mood and other agencies that can help you.
Was that? Did you just sneak in a pitch in the middle of our podcast? You snuck in a pitch. Okay.
You know, I saw the opportunity.
You got it, girl.
And then, okay, so on that note, and I'm just going to backtrack quickly. I think one of the tools that I've learned is a really powerful tool as a business owner is passion. You really need to believe in your business. No one else will. So it is hard to stay passionate all the time and motivated. So you need to focus and put energy into ways to stay motivated and passionate because you are the fire that is, you know, going to keep the business going because it's hard. It's hard being an entrepreneur. But then another tip I'd give someone who's developing a new online business is don't go custom from the start.
Okay.
In terms of web development, there are incredible, you know, hosting platforms like Shopify and WooCommerce. And in my experience, it's been really great because those platforms make it so much easier and so much more cost effective to run your online business. They come with insights, they come with data, they come with incredible plugins that you can use to kind of curate any business that you want to start. For example, our calendar plugin that we need as a rental fashion platform that a shop may not need. So there are a lot of incredible plugins that you can play with. Something that we're actually also launching soon, but I'll get to that later.
Well, you've piqued my interest. I'm going to ask you a down-the-line question. For someone starting a business online, how much capital investment do you need? Can you start a business online with little or no initial investment?
Good question. So I'm pretty transparent about, I mean, how much like capital we had in the beginning, and that's not a lot. Mm-hmm. We really started with a bootstrapping kind of approach. Is it bootstrap or bootleg? Bootstrapping or bootleg approach? I don't know. I just remember this term.
You're the one in fashion.
No, that's not even a fashion term. That's just like when you start a business with not a lot.
Not a lot.
So my partner and I both put some money in the pot, and we haven't put in money again up until now.
Wow.
We've just kind of reinvested what we've made. And I think that's wise. I don't think, you know, test out the market before you decide to fully commit financially. So that's what we did, worked well. So we've reinvested everything we've made back into the business. We recently did take a little bit of investment to kind of launch our phase two of the business. But no, you do not need a lot of money. Okay, it depends what business you're starting.
For sure.
But I do think that there are ways to keep costs down and to trial the market before committing fully.
Because I think that's, and this is a lesson I've learned as an entrepreneur in my space, is that once those bigger capital investments come and you do fail, which you will along the way, you are constantly learning those lessons. The less of a financial implication is attached to that failure, that obviously then plays a massive role in how quickly you can stand back up again and get back in the fight.
100%. And on that note, that's, I think Style Rotate, for example, had a really great benefit of starting with a kind of low cost approach because we didn't have massive overheads. So when the pandemic came, Tash and I we still are doing everything ourselves basically with we've had some very keen interns asking to help out, which we've done a little bit of a work experience kind of program. But I think because we had our overheads to a minimum, it really helped us during the pandemic. which I think a lot of businesses really suffered for.
Well, so
having
many businesses have closed
exactly.
as a result.
So
yeah.
we were very agile in that way. But I also want to add that don't think that you can put no money into starting a business, and don't be afraid to invest, you know, some of your money. It also means when you're putting your own money into the pot, it also means that, you know, you are a little bit extra yeah. vigilant, and maybe putting extra work means that, you know, if you can save your money, I think it's a good thing. So that being said, we didn't put a lot of money into the pot to begin with, but recently we have taken a bit of investment. And I think initially I was very wary of investment and, you know, investing a lot of money into the business. But I have learned to be a bit more accepting that, you know, you need to put money in to make money. You just need to choose wisely when the right time is.
All of this being said, as you've just said, have you always been this way? Have you always been financially orientated? Because I find I'm a fire starter. I will inspire a room full of people to kickstart a project, but don't talk to me 6 months down the line as an accountant, because I struggle with the financial elements. What are those skills you've had to learn on the job?
So it's interesting, because I was actually having a conversation about money to a fellow female entrepreneur last night. And I was just saying to her that I am money driven and I am open about it, because I feel like there's a stigma with women where money isn't spoken about as much as a successful kind of a success indicator, if you
sure.
will. And especially as a female in the creative industry, there is almost a bit of a stigma attached to money comes secondary to whatever you're doing, because
the calling.
It's all about the creative process.
Yeah.
But actually, no, money is important for me because it is a success indicator. I want to be, you know, really, I mean, I've got great goals for Style Rotate and for Mood. I really want us to be extremely financially successful.
You want to be wealthy, just say it. You want to
be
rich,
wealthy.
Girl.
I like expensive things.
There's
yeah.
nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that, especially when you know how you can utilize that wealth.
Totally. And, you know, an extremely alarming percentage of the world's wealth are directly from men and male CEOs and business owners. So I think women need to step up their game. And, you know, there has been a lot against us, but I think we also need to be money-driven, and that's okay to be money-driven as a woman.
Yeah, we're climbing a ladder, and you want to have that end goal. But it does. It potentializes you. It gives you the opportunity to do more with that wealth. So I understand where you're coming from completely.
Don't get me started on the gender pay gap. That's another story.
Well, I think you are doing everything in your power to adjust that yourself. And ultimately, I think that's how the change is going to happen. But I know, and I say that loosely, and I really, it's a wryful smile that I have, because I understand there are a very different set of challenges facing a female within a professional setting, a female within an entrepreneurial setting. I understand that it's a completely different landscape.
Totally. And can I actually add that I learned something a few years ago at a kind of female conference I went to, and that is the term entrepreneur. So you have your entrepreneur and then you have your intrapreneur. An intrapreneur is someone who works within an organization, doesn't necessarily own their own business, but thinks like an entrepreneur and has that entrepreneurial spirit.
I love that.
Yeah. And that for me was like, it really stuck, because at that point I didn't have any businesses, but I kind of did consider myself a bit of an entrepreneur. So intrapreneur, girls.
Do it. And I love the fact, don't forget who you work with. Yeah, you might, your intern mate in your first role at the first job you have might turn out to be your business partner.
100%.
That unlocks the key to success. You clearly have been able to build very good sentiment around your brand. How have you done that? Do you use online review tools? Are there other tools that you lean on? Is it all word of mouth? How do you get that right?
Again, social media has been a huge kind of player in the way that we've kind of hit the market and grown as a business. So consistency on social media marketing has been number one. Number two, word of mouth is extremely powerful. And then also things like, you know, influencer marketing, where, you know, we've got a lot of connections with great influencers and content creators. And just also just by approaching them and being like, hey guys, we are Style Rotate. Would you like to, you know, try out our business? So those are the, I think, the core ways that we've gotten our business out there. But also because our business has a lot of talkability.
For
because,
sure.
You know, there's not a lot out there in South Africa that is, you know, part of this like fashion rental movement. It also is a sustainable way to consume fashion, which is becoming extremely more important to the consumer. And I think the pandemic has left a more conscious fashion landscape. In many ways, people are wanting to become more sustainable consumers, especially with this take, make, and waste disposable fashion model. So there's a lot of PR around our business because I think it's just a really interesting concept that people want to know more about. Also just cold calling and emailing people to, you know, cover our brand. But we've been very lucky in the way that a lot of you know, publications have reached out to us. So that's been really great exposure too.
I think being very savvy and adopting a trend that has been successful abroad, you kind of get a sense of where that trajectory is. People will know, people certainly within the fashion industry will know, and they've just been waiting for someone to fill that vacuum here. And you guys have been really astute in how you've done that.
Totally. And on that note, the people who rent from us, the rotators, we call them, they are, you know, girls looking for a wedding guest outfit or a bridal shower outfit or a birthday outfit. But we've also had a lot of stylists in the fashion industry
sure.
who have come and have found Style Rotate to be a lifesaver. And I know in my experience as a stylist, running around a mall, trying to find a specific outfit is extremely like difficult and draining. So a lot of stylists find our kind of online catalog the best thing since, you know, the steamer. Because they can literally pick and choose what they want for a shoot, see it online. They don't have to even collect it. We deliver it to them and collect it from them. So stylists have also been a big part of Style Rotate's community.
To round this off, we did promise our listeners that we would give them three primary ways to use digital channels to help that customer experience and save time. So can you give me three ways of achieving that?
For sure. So we make service and support really easily available and accessible. Our rotators literally have our numbers, can DM us at any point, asking, you know, questions about a garment or delivery through email, DMs, and contacting us on WhatsApp, for example. So yeah, making your service support easily accessible, I think, is very important.
Communication,
Closing the gap between the customer or the consumer and the brand and making it, they have like a touch point where they can call us up, email us, and get feedback from us directly. Another thing is less traditional delivery solutions, which gets our addresses to our customers faster and gives our customers more flexibility in delivery. We have a very quick turnaround time, so someone can literally rent an outfit and get it within 12 hours.
Speed.
Exactly. Cool. We're also extremely flexible, and we want to be flexible because, as you said, it's very daunting ordering something online and not knowing how it's going to turn out. So we have this thing called risk-free sizing. So if a garment arrives and you let us know within 3 hours that you aren't happy with the fit, we will absorb the cost to replace the garment with something else and to ensure that our rotators feel comfortable knowing that they'll have an outfit and won't lose out completely. And then I think in general, Style Rotate refers to a rotating wardrobe. It's a catalog of outfits that you can literally view online and within a click and add to your cart, essentially receive the dress. You don't have to worry about getting it couriered or cleaning it. We literally, our whole model is based on convenience and, you know, efficiency. So we've really thought about that from start to finish, the process. And then just in general, Style Rotate is, you know, taking care of the process from start to finish to make everything really easy and efficient for you. So we take care of dry cleaning, packaging, delivery, to really make the experience seamless. Plus, for those who like to, you know, plan ahead, you can book your look up to 6 months in advance. We also deliver throughout South Africa.
Accessibility, efficiency, range. I love the personal touch throughout the process and the fact that you are leaning on tools that are so readily available to business owners that I think it's critical, especially for a new startup business, to be able to lean on those kind of tools. I have learned so much from you today. Thank you so much for letting us into your incredible mind and your amazing businesses. I think you are, yes, quite far ahead of the curve, but you are painting an amazing picture for especially, and I'm going to focus on young women entrepreneurs, because I think that is very close to your heart and what you are doing on every level within your market, within your own company structure, within the NGO space. Everything speaks to a passion that goes far beyond just making money. As much as I know you've said making money is vital and important, because 100%. We're entrepreneurs and we want to make more money so we can do more
but
with
even,
that money.
Even my context for wanting to make money is from also a female point of view, you know, to promote females being entrepreneurs and going after, you know, success and running with the guys and not just, you know, in an all male kind of dominated space. And a lot of who I work with, I always choose to work with females over males. Sorry, males. Love you all. But if you look
choice,
at Cora's team, Mood's team, and Style Rotate's team, as small as it is, we all are females. Yay for female empowerment and running with the big dogs.
Yeah, man. The wolf pack looks a lot different now, and you are playing your part. Cleo, thank you so much for opening a window into your amazing world, your beautiful mind. I really do appreciate it. And hopefully you listening have picked up some gems on how to operate in the digital space from someone who is clearly getting it right. That was Cleopatra Markopoulos, co-founder of the amazing Style Rotate, the incredible Cora Project, and Mood Creative Agency. And that's a wrap on this week's podcast. Join us again next time as we give you more tips to own your business journey. I'm your host, Graham Richards, and you are listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast.